This message is a presentation of Pinnacle Baptist Church and the preaching ministry of Pastor Ray McBerry. Other messages like this are available online at pinnaclebaptist.com. The church is located at 2517 High Falls Road in Griffin, Georgia. If you're in the area, we would love for you to visit us this Sunday. Now, here's today's message.
All right. Well, in introducing our Sunday school lesson from the book of Judges this morning, I want to begin by reading several verses from Psalm 7. So this is just kind of an introduction to what we're going to be looking at this morning in the book of Judges. And so if you want to either turn with me to Psalm 7 or you can just listen, I'm only going to read a few verses and then we'll jump right into the book of Judges. Psalm chapter 7, listen to what it says beginning in verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. Now, this is talking about the wicked. The Bible says that the Lord hateth, is angry with the wicked every day. It says, behold, he travaileth with iniquity. He hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. That word pate is just another archaic word for his own head. It's talking about the wicked. It says he's digged a pit, and he's fallen into his own pit. And he has prepared mischief, but the mischief is coming down on his own head. That is the perfect lead-in to our next story here in the book of Judges. So if you'll look where we left off last week in Judges chapter 9, we saw the life of Gideon end in chapter 8 after winning the big battle and delivering Israel from all their enemies. The Bible said that the land had rest for 40 years because of the faithfulness of Gideon. The Bible also told us that Gideon had 70 sons with many wives, of course. Boy, that'd be one tired lady if she had 70 kids to look after. But he had 70 sons, and then he had one son with a concubine. And so that brings us now to chapter number 9. In chapter number 9, we're going to see what happens after the death of Gideon because, Gideon's not there in the land to keep Israel on the right track. You're going to see that just like we've talked about before, Israel's going to get right back off the track again, and it's one of his only begotten that's going to be the cause of it and the cause of Israel falling back into iniquity. Look what it says, though, in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, and Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying. Now, before we read what Abimelech says, let me remind you who Abimelech is. Abimelech is not one of the 70 sons of Gideon, the legitimate sons. He's the son of the concubine that Gideon had a child with. And so Abimelech is, he's one of Gideon's sons, but he's not one of the rightful heirs to the inheritance of Gideon, as he's the son of the concubine, not one of the wives. Abimelech is not a good person, as you're about to see. He's going to not only lead his family astray, he's going to lead Israel astray. Let's see now what it says that Abimelech says, the son of Gideon, when he comes to Shechem. This is his mother's hometown. Here's what he says to the men of Shechem. Number two, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem. Whether is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 and 80 and 90 and 110 persons reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. So he's basically saying to the men of Shechem, his mother's hometown, listen, would it be better for you if Gideon's 70 sons reign over you and you have to answer to 70 people, or if just one reigns over you, who, by the way, is a grandson of the city of Shechem? This is where my mama's from. So he's going behind the backs of the other 70, Gideon's 70 sons, and he's trying to convince the men of Shechem that they should promote him as the new leader of Israel. Now, when Gideon passed away, his 70 sons, more or less, together took on the mantle of leading Israel as well as judges over the people of Israel. Remember, they're not only the civil leaders, but they're also the military leaders and the spiritual leaders of Israel during this time, because there's no king. Well, as it turns out, Abimelech has a plan. He has something up his sleeve, so to speak. He's trying to convince the men from his mother's hometown of Shechem to promote him as being the one ruler of Israel, and forgetting the 70 brothers who are the sons of Gideon. Verse 3, and his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. Immediately we see some very important things about the character of Abimelech. He obviously is not an honorable fella. Number one, what he's doing, he's going behind the backs of his 70 brothers. He's not doing what he's doing in the light of day in front of everybody. That ought to be a good indication that he's up to no good. He doesn't want everyone to know what he's doing right now. He's trying to slide in the back door, so to speak. He's one of the first politicians. Oh, well, he's definitely a politician. Yeah, I don't know if we could say one of the first ones, but yes, he's definitely, Brother Sean got it right, he's definitely a politician. So he goes to his mother's family and said, listen, speak to the rest of the men of Shechem and ask them, isn't it better for us to just have one man over Israel instead of 70? And by the way, wouldn't it be better for it to be someone from right here in Shechem? And so his mother's family go to the rest of the men of Shechem. They agree. Sounds like a good plan. Sounds like a good idea. So to help him with this conspiracy to take over the rulership of Israel, the men of Shechem all chip in together from their local church treasury. They rob the church treasury, and they give him 70 pieces of silver. I don't know if that's specifically because there were 70 brothers, 70, or if that was just a purely coincidence. But they give him 70 pieces of silver to finance his undertakings. What he's going to use this money for, the Bible says he went out and found some of the worst characters you could find and convinced them to follow him. Now, they're following him, of course, for the almighty Yankee dollar, for mammon, as Jesus calls it in the New Testament, for money. They're not honorable men at all. They're shady characters. Interesting, though, that it tells us where the men of Shechem got the money. It was from the house of Baal-berith. Now, if you weren't here with us last week, you missed out on who Baal-berith was. Baal-berith was a false god of the people in whose land the Israelites had moved. Wednesday night, I also talked a little bit more about this Baal-berith god. You see right away, the first part of the name is Baal, B-A-A-L. We see the false god Baal all throughout the Old Testament because the Canaanites, all of them in the Promised Land, the Canaanites worshiped Baal as kind of their chief god, the Zeus, if you would, of the Canaanite gods and goddesses. He's the head god of all the pagan gods. But just as with our God, in the Old Testament, many times you'll see Jehovah hyphen and then another part of his name after that. Whatever word comes after that is a word that always describes our God in some different way. And there are many different Jehovah hyphen this or that. I've thought sometime about maybe preaching a series of messages on the different names of God in the Old Testament. But let me get back to the story here. Baal-berith. We know who Baal is. He's the chief of the pagan gods. So what does that modifier mean, Berith? Well, as we talked about last week, this is the name of the, this was the name of Baal that the Phoenicians just north of Israel called Baal. They didn't refer to him just as Baal. They referred to him as Baal-berith. Well, then what does the name Berith mean? Well, the name Berith, if you translate it into English, it's the name Beirut. And of course, you and I have all heard of Beirut, Lebanon. Beirut, Lebanon is the capital of Lebanon, which is the country just north of Israel today. These people are the descendants of the same people that lived north of Israel thousands of years ago. Beirut, Lebanon today is named after Baal-berith, the false chief god of the pagans. The Philistines, who lived on the coast of the Mediterranean in the southern part of Israel, they also worshipped Baal-berith. But they called him by a different name. Brother John reminded me of this Wednesday night. The Philistines had a different name. They didn't call him Baal-berith. They called him Baal-zebub, which in the New Testament is Beelzebub. That's the name in the book of Revelation referring to Satan himself, Lucifer. So Beelzebub, Satan himself, is the same as Baal-berith, and that's the one that these Canaanites were worshiping. Unfortunately, it wasn't just the Canaanites that were worshiping Baal-berith. Even members of the Israelites had started following the false worship of Baal-berith. Well, let's just be blunt. That means there were Israelites that were involved with Satan worship, devil worship. The Philistine name Beelzebub literally means Lord of the Flies. I know when I was a teenager, I went to a Christian school, so we didn't read it, but there were a lot of government schools around us that required the students in high school to read a book entitled Lord of the Flies. The origin of that name, Lord of the Flies, comes from the name Beelzebub. So there were Israelites that had started worshiping Satan, just like the Canaanites around them. And it was from the temple of Beelzebub that they gave him that 70 silver coins. That ought to be a little bit telling to us as well. They're taking money from the work of Satan to go do the work of Satan. This is not a godly enterprise that Abimelech is entering into. And the partnership he's entering into is not a godly partnership. These are all wicked people joining together to increase the influence of wickedness. Boy, it so reminds me of our own country and the things we see and hear in the news every day. You hear the different big names that are in the news today in our own country. Some of them involved in big business, some of them politicians in Washington, but they all seem to be in cahoots together, moving our country in the wrong direction. Well, that's exactly what was going on here behind the scenes in Israel after Gideon died. Unfortunately, it was one of his own offspring that was involved in this, Abimelech. There's a lot of preaching I could do right there, but I'm not going to do that. Let's continue on with the story. Verse 5 says, and he went unto his father's house at Ophrah. Now that's where Gideon was from, his daddy. And slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal. Remember, Jerubbaal is just another name for Gideon. Slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding yet, Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. So here's this awful fella, Abimelech. He uses the 70 pieces of silver, goes out and hires a bunch of no goods, rotten, dirty scoundrels, takes them with him up to where his daddy is from, the city of Ophrah, and there he and those he's paid massacred his 70 brothers. All 70 of them, except for one, the youngest, who hides himself and escapes the massacre. The Bible says he killed all 70 of them right there on one stone. What a horrendous act of at any time, by anyone, to just kill 70 innocent people. But this was a mass killing of his own brethren, no less. 69 of his 70 brothers. Only Jotham escaped. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Millo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. So now that all the competition is out of the way, Abimelech has the men of Shechem, which was a pretty important city in the land at the time. He has all the men of this important city of Shechem proclaim him to be the new king of the land. Well, I guess that's kind of easy to do once you get rid of all the competition. A couple of weeks ago in the news, we were reading about how the fellow that was running against Putin over there in Russia mysteriously came down with some kind of poisoning. Well, that's typically what happens in communist countries. Anybody who stands up against the government, they just disappear, or something mysteriously happens to them, like this fella who ended up being poisoned and almost died, but of course didn't get elected because he wasn't around to do any campaigning, as though there were actual legitimate elections in Russia anyway. But that's what Abimelech's doing. He's getting rid of the competition so that he can be the natural heir to be the only ruler of the land of Israel. Verse 7, and when they told it to Jotham, that's the youngest brother that hid himself and remained alive, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice and cried, and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. Now he's going to tell a parable. It's a story that he's telling, but it's got a point to it. So listen to the story. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? So when the other trees asked the olive tree to be the king of the trees, the olive tree said, no, I'm sorry, I'd have to take a step down. I'd have to take a demotion to be the king of trees over what I'm already doing for man and God. Verse 10, and the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? So he turned them down too. Then said the trees unto the vine, that's a grapevine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? In other words, the grapevine said the same thing as the fig tree and the olive tree. I would have to take a demotion to settle for just being the king of the trees. No, thank you. Verse 14. Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. Now, what's a bramble? Yeah, just a little briar bush. So then the trees offered the little briar bush to be their king. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. This is quite an interesting story that Jotham is telling here. He said, what you've done in promoting Abimelech to be the king over Israel is you have turned down honorable men and you've chosen a scoundrel. And he is going to be the destruction of you, just like the bramble would have destroyed all the trees, including the giant cedars of Lebanon, if the trees had put their trust in a little bramble bush to be their king. So Jotham, can you just picture him? He's standing up on this hill overlooking the city of Shechem. He doesn't need a PA system. He's standing up above him on the mountain, and he's just hollering this out. The men of Shechem, of course, they've basically done exactly what he said in his analogy, in his parable. They've chosen a dishonorable man. And as the verses that we read at the beginning of our Sunday school lesson from the book of Psalms, the wicked diggeth a pit and falleth therein. Abimelech has dug himself a pit. Make no doubt about it, before we get to the end of the story, Abimelech's going to fall into his own pit. But so too are all those that are going along for the ride with him. They're not going to escape the destruction either. Let that be a lesson to us, not only to be the right kind of person ourselves, but to make sure we're following the right kind of examples ourselves, lest we end up falling into the pit as well. Verse 16, Jotham continues, now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, my daddy, and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you, and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons, upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal, or Gideon, and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. I'm going to stop here for a second. Jotham is saying to the men of Shechem, if you've done sincerely and you've done honorably in making Abimelech, who, by the way, and here's what's in parentheses, who, by the way, just killed all 70 of the sons, save me, of Gideon, who, by the way, was the man who fought for you, who, by the way, was the one that ventured his life for you, who, by the way, was the one who eliminated the Midianites and ran them out of your land. But far be it from me to superimpose my will. If you think it was honorable for you to promote that same Abimelech to be king over Shechem, then good for you. But now he continues. Verse 20, but if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Millo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech. He said, if you've done dishonorably, I hope Abimelech brings destruction on you, and you bring destruction on him. Isn't it true that lots of times when bad people get together, they're in cahoots, and they're trying to advance their common cause of wickedness, but there's no honor among thieves, so even the bad guys can't trust the other bad guys because they're both bad guys. It sounds a lot like Congress, doesn't it? That's exactly right, Brother John. By the way, it doesn't matter what letter they wear on their shoulder, whether it's an R or a D or something else, they're all wicked men, for the most part, in cahoots with each other. You're right. Two sides of the same coin. That's what Mr. George Wallace said. That's right. Verse 21, and Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. Well, that's almost the term of a presidency, isn't it? 3 years. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Aha, there it comes. The division between them. The division between the bad guys. They're turning on each other now. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. That the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. In other words, what we're being told here is that that division between the bad guys is coming so that they can both get their just deserts for killing, murdering, 70 innocent sons of Gideon, less Jotham. And the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountains. And they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. So here are the fellows who put him in power, the men of Shechem. Well, they become a little disillusioned with Abimelech and his rulership. So they decide, you know what? We made a bad choice in Abimelech. So get some men together and tell them to go out and hide in the mountains and wait for Abimelech to come this way. So they're up there hiding in the mountains, waiting for him. So the next trip he makes down to Shechem, they can ambush him. Meanwhile, until he comes, there's nothing better to do than just rob innocent folks coming by. So that's what they're doing there. Is robbing the innocent people. It says, and it was told Abimelech. Eventually word got back to Abimelech of what the men of Shechem were up to, that they had turned on him. Verse 26, and Gaal the son of Ebed came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. Ah, so here's another fellow. Another one that would promote himself. He steps up and said, listen, you men of Shechem, you're not happy with Abimelech? He said, I'll take care of Abimelech if you'll just get behind me. Another person promoting his own self. And they went into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes. You know how it is when they stomp on the grapes to press the new wine, the grape juice out, and made merry, and went into the house of their god, Baal-berith, by the way, and did eat and drink, and cursed Abimelech. Here are the fellas that put him in power, now they're cursing him behind his back. Boy, that definitely sounds like Washington. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. For why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand. Then would I remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. So this man, Gaal, he said, listen, I'm going to take care of Abimelech. He was saying this not because he wanted to help Israel or do the people of Israel a favor, but he was in it for his own gain, it appears. But he said, I know Abimelech, and his right-hand man is down there in Shechem too, his general, if you would. He said, I'm going to take care of both of them. He sends a message to Abimelech and said, you get whatever army you have together and come on out and meet me on the plains. We're going to have at it. Then said, and when Zebul, verse 30, when Zebul, the ruler of the city, now he's the ruler of Shechem, but he's still in cahoots with Abimelech. He's still loyal to Abimelech at this point. He's kind of the mayor of the city. When he heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately, that's privately, saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren be come to Shechem. And behold, they fortify the city against thee. In other words, they've besieged our city. You need to come. Bring your army now. He says, verse 32, now therefore up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. He said, come on out in the middle of the night. Get in the field and lie down and wait for them. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city. And behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then thou mayest do to them as thou shalt find occasion. So here's Gaal. He's trying to get the men of Shechem to follow him. Seems like everybody in the city of Shechem is on board except the mayor of the city, who is still a secret supporter of Abimelech. I'm sure because Abimelech was feeding him some money under the table. So he sends word privately to Abimelech, come on out, be ready right outside the city, and when the sun comes up, stand up and make ready for battle, and Gaal and his men will come out of the city, and you can mow them down. You can take care of them. And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, that is the mayor, behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, ah, thou seest the shadow of the mountains, as if they were men. And Gaal spake again and said, see, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meonanim. Then said Zebul unto him, where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou saidst, who is Abimelech, that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with him. So the mayor is kind of having fun with this fellow Gaal. He said, Gaal said, look, there are people coming against the city. And the mayor says, where? I don't see any people. All I see are the shadows of the mountains. You must be seeing things. He said, no, look, there's a company over there. And wait, there's another group of them coming from over there. And finally the mayor says, ah, where's thy mouth now? That said, oh, if they would only come, I would take care of them. He said, there they are. Go do it. So here are the bad guys about to fight against the bad guys. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. Now, you know, we're coming to a point where we're about to find out what's going to happen to Abimelech, what's going to happen to Gaal, what's going to happen to the mayor of Shechem and the men of Shechem, and what's going to happen to Israel. It looks like all the bad guys are turning on each other. But now my time is up, and you'll have to come back next week to find out the rest of the story. I hope. Actually, next week we're going to have a missionary with us for our missions conference in Sunday school. So it'll be 2 weeks from now before we'll find out the end of the story about Abimelech. But it's a good one. I hope you'll be back next week for the missions conference, and then the week after for Abimelech. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to study your word. Lord, how intriguing and interesting it is, but Lord, the truths that are there for us. I pray, dear God, you'd help us to learn from your word. Lord, not to associate ourselves with the wrong kind of folks and the misery and discomfort that it brings if we do. Lord, help us to be honorable men and women of God. Lord, to stand faithfully for you and for your word. And if we do, we pray you'd bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.